Hey, how's it going, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast.
How's it going, everyone? My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm his brother, Will Brueggemann.
We're very excited because today we're going to be taking a spotlight on The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, this is really exciting because this marks the very first time in the history of this podcast that we're going to be spending the entire, 60, 70 minutes just playing the music and talking about the music to one particular game. But this soundtrack is one of the most well-loved in all of game music. And I think that's why we felt this was a very good start to doing this type of very in-depth analysis.
Yeah, these spotlights, if you will. This is something that we've had the idea to do these kind of spotlights where we focus on one particular soundtrack and really get deep and explore the entire soundtrack. We had that idea for a long time, and we always knew that Ocarina of Time would be the first one we would do because it definitely warrants it. And it just kind of so happens that in the course of this podcast, we really haven't played much music from Ocarina of Time. I think we've played maybe 4 tracks total on this whole podcast. So obviously, most of the music from the soundtrack we have yet to play on this podcast.
And I think a big reason behind that is that it's so well known, it's very well loved, and this game in particular is considered by a vast majority of gamers to be one of the greatest games of all time, and this soundtrack is equally as praised.
Yeah, the thing about this soundtrack is, similar to this game, similar to every aspect of this game, it was incredibly ahead of its time. And not just for Koji Kondo, but for game music in general, this soundtrack was so incredibly important, and it really laid the foundation for game music in general. Just how the level of seriousness, the emotions that are conjured up by this music is pretty impressive.
Right. I think another big reason why we haven't really dove our heads into a lot of the Ocarina music before is really because I think we felt that there wasn't a whole lot that we could just add by playing some of the more famous pieces, because, everything's already been said about that. And soundtracks, I feel like The Link to the Past are very much underrated, and there's so many thematic ideas. Sort of that's where Zelda really found its musical character, and the Ocarina soundtrack really owes a lot to that game. And I think the gameplay and story and everything owes a lot to that game as well. But this is really the perfect opportunity because we're gonna be playing way more tracks for you guys than we normally do on a typical episode, and they're all gonna be from this game. So even if you've never played this game before, I'm willing to bet that you'll probably have some sort of emotional journey because there's such a variety of music in this soundtrack, and so much of it has this very rich emotional center.
Absolutely, and one of the great things about this soundtrack is that it may not be Koji Kondo's most immediately catchy soundtrack. I think there may be some other soundtracks that would fit that bill a little bit better. I think in the past, I may have dismissed this soundtrack, and honestly, it wasn't until preparing for this episode that I actually listened to the entire thing all the way through. I think some of the pieces that are a little bit longer, in the past, maybe I had just listened to maybe the first minute or two of them. So it really kind of gave me much more appreciation of the soundtrack. So with that being said, let's get into it. The first track we're going to play today is the title theme. Here we go. You're listening to the title theme of Ocarina of Time, composed by Koji Kondo.
Yeah, I mean, this is an absolutely stunning piece of music. We've mentioned this before, but one of the things that's just so cool in right off the bat, as soon as you plug this cartridge into your Nintendo 64 and you pop it on, any fan of the Zelda series would just get this instant, overwhelming feeling of nostalgia, because the theme that's playing here is actually a music cue that was used in both the original Legend of Zelda for the NES and Super Mario Bros. 3. In Mario Bros. 3, it was the warp whistle, but in Zelda, it was the theme that you played on the flute. That you could get in that game, and it was a cool little theme, da 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 da. And what's so brilliant is Koji uses that in this game's opening sequence to a really great effect, because the chords that he's using are just so lush and emotional.
Yeah, I think this was the introduction to a much richer soundscape, much better instruments for a lot of gamers of this time. If you're going from something like the Super Nintendo or the Genesis, hearing that piano sample, I know for me, it was the first time I ever heard that sound on a video game, and definitely for the 64, it was the first time that I heard that. The sound where it really feels like it's performed, it really feels like legitimate music.
Yeah.
And I remember as a kid, I was never really a Zelda fan when I saw this game, and I still had that same nostalgic reaction that you may have, or that actual fans of the series may have. And I think it's just owed to the music. It's just such a powerful start to this game.
Yeah, it's also it's really cool, because I feel like a lot Carl and I might sort of downplay the improvements in the audio department when it comes to the Nintendo 64. But again, Ocarina is such a masterful game. It's really, in my opinion, probably the best game to utilize that hardware of the Nintendo 64 in every aspect. I mean, the controls and the visuals, and especially the audio. Like, what's so brilliant is Koji Kondo is doing things that he just simply couldn't have done before. Like, the quality of that piano just sounds really good for the time, and it's something that wouldn't have worked on the Super Nintendo, not as well.
Definitely. We're going to move on to another track that you hear very early on in the game. This is called the Deku Tree. This is the Deku Tree from Ocarina of Time, composed by Koji Kondo. This is a great piece of music. It really sets up a lot of tension, and it reminds me of the type of tension that was set up in the beginning of Link to the Past. I think when you play the beginning of this game, it definitely feels like it's at home in the series, and you can definitely tell that it's the next game, because Koji Kondo is kind of coming from a similar musical landscape as far as like how he's outlining the initial emotions in the beginning of the adventure.
Yeah, another thing that's really cool about this whole opening sequence is the dialogue is just so impressive for the time. It's almost like Shakespearean in this this section. The great Deku Tree is speaking to Navi, who's a fairy, and is using these really big words like art and like how fairest thou, like Shakespearean type of tongues. And the arrangement of this track is just really interesting, because there, like Carl mentioned, there's a lot of tension, but it's shying away from that sort of modern film score sound. It feels very old school. And another technique that we're going to notice throughout listening to this soundtrack, there's a lot of homages to classical orchestral arrangement as far as different moving parts and sort of underneath little colors. Some tracks you hear it more than other, but this one in particular, I definitely sort of hear it, because when the melody ends, you have no 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 no, you have all the different parts sort of working in this sort of polyphony.
Yeah, it's a very impressive track. It's one that initially didn't necessarily jump out at me, but when you actually just listen to the music by itself, I think one of the things about the soundtrack is it's kind of hard to separate the music from the visuals and from the experience. But when you do, it almost makes you appreciate the music even more. So we're going to move on to another early track in the game. For the most part, we're going to be going chronologically as far as when you'd play this game, the music that you would hear. This is called Fairy Flying. Thank you. This track is called Fairy Flying, and I really like this track. It really has a nice, bouncy, lively feel, and it really kind of captures the sound of what a fairy would be. I think one thing that was a great choice is that the theme is in 7/8, and it's such a lively, kind of slightly odd meter, where it's definitely something that it makes sense musically, but it puts a little bit more tension than if it was just like in 4/4, 6/8.
Right. Another thing that's really cool is most pieces of music that utilize 7/8 use it for sort of a different thing. You'll usually have these very driving ostinatos, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But what's cool is this is so bouncy and happy. It sort of catches you off guard, the meter a little bit. And it's a very brilliant sequence in the game because it's sort of this first person perspective as the fairy just flying through all these things. It's a great, brilliant introduction to the whole world and to the graphical capabilities.
Yeah, it's just really great imagery because from the instrumentation, the fact that he's using those high-pitched bells, that metallic sound, again, it drives home the feeling of a fairy. And one thing that I think the 7/8 meter does is it's a little bit more free. It's a little bit unexpected. And I think when you think about the motion of a fairy flying, you can never really expect where that fairy is going to go. So I think it's just really great imagery. The music is able to match the visuals. We're going to move on to the music you hear when you're inside of your house. You're listening to House from Ocarina of Time. This has always been one of my favorite pieces of this game. I think I've talked about this before, but I've tried to start this game so many times, and I've never really gotten very far. So I've heard the music at the beginning of this game so much, and this is definitely a piece that is just incredibly classic to me when I think about the soundtrack. And one thing that's interesting is the rhythms of this piece, as a kid, I was never able to understand where the downbeat was. Actually, the way that the melody and the chords work, it's really fast upbeats, actually.
Yeah.
But as a kid, I remember kind of thinking they were downbeats. So it felt like there was this kind of metric modulation happening, but it actually wasn't. It was just an interesting placement of those rhythms.
Right. Yeah, it's a very great piece of music. Definitely feels much more safe than a lot of the music in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of like a sigh of relief when you enter a building and this theme is playing. You know that you're safe from all dangers. The creators of the game definitely knew that, and future Zelda composers have continued to use this theme even until like Skyward Sword, so it definitely has stood the test of time.
Yeah, so this is actually, the music, you're right, that when you enter any house in the game, it's not just your house, right?
Right.
Yeah. Awesome. We're going to move on to another classic piece early on in this game. This is Kokiri Forest. This is Kokiri Forest from Ocarina of Time. What a classic piece. The thing that I'm always so impressed about this song is that it's such limber orchestration and part writing. Like, all the instruments are just kind of giving their little two cents. They're just boom, 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 just going back and forth. And it's so playful. It's so imaginative. Again, it's really great imagery. It really fits what you're seeing in Kokiri Forest. There's so much happening. And there's so much to see, so many people to talk to. And I love how limber all the parts are. Like, you'll hear that little bell metallic sound just shimmering and coming in. in and then exiting, and then another instrument comes in. It's just, it's really masterfully done.
Yeah, it's really fantastic. Koji Kondo is really just sort of being a slave to the visuals and scenery in this game. He's doing things by any means necessary to capture the emotion, and in the majority of cases, really enhance it and extend it to just such a saturated, like, emotional feeling. And every single track is just perfectly set to the visuals and location, and this is probably the best example of that.
And it's just such a smart instrument choice, because when you hear that harpsichord, that is always going to make you feel like it's like classic, it's trying to evoke an older time. So, and that really helps. And then the part itself, how there's those nice, really fast ornamentations, it has that classical feel, which really fits in the Zelda series, because the Zelda music is definitely, it's trying to sound classic and timeless and rousing. And so it's the type of thing where you're definitely going to have classical influences. So it's really cool to hear that, especially early on in the game. We're going to move on to the shop theme. This is one of the funnest pieces, in my opinion, of this soundtrack. Let's take a listen.
We're listening to the shop theme, otherwise known as the bazaar theme, that you first enter in the Kokiri village.
Yeah, this is obviously a really, really fun piece of music. It's a great Latin feel, and it's really authentic culturally to this type of music. It feels kind of like a folk song that you would hear either like on the radio in like some small village or something. It's just really appropriate for this type of location in the game.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's such a unique choice, again, and it's another one of those choices that Koji Kondo made when he was doing the soundtrack that has stood with the series until the present time, because this theme has been arranged in so many different ways in basically every subsequent Zelda game.
Absolutely, yeah. And like I said earlier, this soundtrack in general was such a step forward for Koji Kondo, because he had never really done anything like this. And in general, I think a lot of composers of this time had never really done something quite as daunting of an undertaking as this soundtrack, as far as how much music you have to compose for the game, and just the idea of having all of the music having to fit the location so well to conjure up that emotional quality. So it was something that he definitely kind of started in Link to the Past, but it was really this game that idea was really fully realized. And I think the combination of this and Majora's Mask, in a lot of ways, I think probably tired him out from having to work so hard for so long. But it's just such an impressive piece of work that is just going to hold up, I think, forever. So we're going to move on to the boss battle. There's a lot of different boss battle themes in this game. There's also one called, I think, like Dinosaur Boss Battle. We're just going to play the regular boss battle theme. Enjoy. So cool. That is boss battle. And yeah, this is definitely a nice defense of Koji Kondo's versatility in his diversity musically. I mean, what the percussion is doing here is very impressive, and especially technically when you think about the N64, it's just very good use of that hardware. I don't know. This is a piece that, again, in the past I may not have necessarily enjoyed it that much or really given it maybe the appreciation that it deserves, but listening to it now, I think another thing about this piece and this soundtrack is how influential it was to later boss themes that you'd hear in video games.
Exactly, yeah. Really effective job, and it just starts off with a huge bang, that repeated piano, Austin.
Absolutely.
There's just... It definitely feels like a brand new step in the Zelda series. As far as the consistent use of piano in this game, definitely makes it feel a lot like film music. And
absolutely,
it's cool because we talked about how there's a lot of that classical influences as far as the orchestration. But mm-hmm. that use of the piano with the orchestral instruments really makes it feel kind of like film score-y and modern, because it's not something that you get in this type of context in a lot of classical
absolutely.
Music. Because in a lot of classical music, there wasn't really... Well, for like Baroque era music, there was no piano. So. Mm-hmm.
We're going to move on to a very unique piece called The Legend of Hyrule. This is The Legend of Hyrule, and it's the first piece, there's going to be a few of them today, that is definitely quite a departure for Koji Kondo. It's so creepy. It's just incredibly haunting.
Yeah, it's definitely haunting, but I feel like it has like this very unique quality to it, because it's not downright scary. There's sort of this mysterious, otherworldly quality to it, and this is the music that, again, is used in the later games, but... is sort of used whenever they're talking about the lore of Hyrule, like the its creation and sort of the legend of like the three goddesses creating the world. And it's just, again, it it creates such lush imagery in your head when you hear it. The use of instruments is great. I feel like it really shows Kondo's diversity once again, because this is unlike any other piece in the game, any other piece in the Zelda series, and it's mm-hmm. like it's such a profound step for video game music. I think this really hit both Carl and myself when we were at the Symphony of the Goddesses
absolutely.
Concert tour. They had a visual medley as well of sort of a visual creation of Hyrule while the orchestra was playing this, and it's just, it's really chilling and just a very powerful emotional experience.
Yeah, when you get to hear this music played by an actual orchestra, oh my gosh, it really, for me, it gave me such a higher level of appreciation for the music, because right away I was like, wait, is this even from Ocarina of Time? Like, I don't even remember it, because you're not used to hearing it in that context. I think we get so used to the sounds of these instruments. And in this particular track, maybe those choral sounds are not, you know, they're not the best. You know, they kind of are a little bit outdated. But if you hear that performed live, it's incredibly powerful music that really holds up. We're going to move on to our track of the week. This is the Hyrule Field main theme. This is, in my opinion, probably the strongest piece of music in this game. And I think what's so impressive about this piece is how long it is, how many different sections there are in this piece, and it always is engaging. It's never dull. There's not one second of this piece that's dull. Overall, this piece is almost 5 minutes long. So without further ado, let's take a listen to the Hyrule Field main theme. We're going to play about half of it, and then we'll fade it down and talk about it.
Thank you.
this piece just doesn't stop, does it? This is the Hyrule Field main theme. This is our track of the week this week. There's such a diverse set of influences and different sounds that he's trying to evoke here. One thing that was interesting is there was a section of this that got kind of like Star Wars with those nice kind of brass harmonies, really fast rhythms.
Yeah, and then the trading off between the brass and woodwind.
Right. And then later on, there was that part with those really shrill drink drink strings that reminded me of like Psycho or something, like the shower scene. There's just such a variety of different kind of soundscapes that he's able to use. And this is a piece that I have not yet heard an actual orchestral arrangement of this, but I would love to hear this.
Yeah, there was that the string orchestra did that whole
the string
ocarina
ensemble.
Did some of the, they basically did the entire ocarina soundtrack in like a Zelda medley, and they did this, but it wasn't full orchestra.
You didn't get the brass.
You didn't get the percussion, the woodwinds, all that.
But I don't know. I think this was one of the pieces that I talked about where in the past I had maybe only listened to the beginning of this piece, maybe the first minute or so. And so for a lot of this, I have actually never heard it before this week preparing. And it was really fun because it felt like for me, I was uncovering like lost Koji Kondo music. And maybe that's kind of sad. Lot of people are familiar with
this.
This
is one of the coolest things about the game is the whole Hyrule Field area. The time changes, so it'll go from day to night, and as evening falls, the different music cues sort of accent what's happening.
That's so cool.
Visually. So I feel like this part is when the sun's like setting, when you had those arpeggiated harp sort of lines. It's really interesting, and the music is just consistently it's consistently engaging no matter how much you play this game, you know, whether you're just starting it at the very beginning or if you've been playing it for a long time, you know, it scores every like emotion that the player could be feeling. And you know, your emotions may sort of tune in and tune out.
Yeah, I really
think
that
parts.
This is one of the most impressive kind of orchestral pieces at this point in the timeline of video game music. I think the fact that he's able to keep it interesting and have it so varied, have it so diverse, and then when you come back to this main theme, oh my gosh, that must be so powerful in the game. But one thing that I just love is that this era of Koji Kondo is so unique because you're still getting his chord choices and his melodic style that you've always heard, but it's the first time that he's having these new problems. He's having these new emotions that he's forced to have to create. So he's kind of doing things that you had never heard him do up to this point. And so, I don't know, there's something really unique about this era of Koji Kondo, and it's just really enjoyable to listen to. We're going to move on to a really unique piece. This is called Kapora Gabora's theme. That's such a fun imaginative piece of music. This is Kapora Gabora's theme. One thing that I think is so cool is because it has that kind of devious, sneaky quality to it. It definitely has a lot of classical influence. When you have those harmonized woodwinds at that last section, I really like how they end on a fifth, kind of a low harmony. That's a nice, strong way to end the piece and go back to the beginning.
Right, yeah, it very much fits this character. Kapora Gabora is an owl. He's a very wise owl that sort of will give you advice when you go to a new area. He'll sort of tell you what's happening in that area. And
that's cool.
He's a pretty helpful little guy in the game. but the banter that he'll sort of... He teases you a little bit.
Ah.
And with his wisdom comes a little bit of arrogance. So I feel like you get some of that in this theme. Like, it's not purely happy. It's a little bit snooty. And
I
think it perfectly fits the character and his role in the game.
And I definitely hear a lot of influence of this piece later on. Like, it kind of reminded me of that pirate theme from Wind Waker.
Yeah, it definitely.
Maybe something like Linebeck's theme.
Using the bassoon
as
like the prime instrument, and having that one also sort of has that little bit kind of snooty quality.
Absolutely.
That pirate ship song from Wind Waker.
Very cool. We're going to move on to another really fun piece. This is called Market. This is Market from Ocarina of Time, composed by the one and only Koji Kondo. One thing that's so cool about this piece is it's trying to evoke a kind of a Renaissance, kind of a Gaelic feel, but what's so cool is that it still fits with Koji Kondo video game music.
Right.
It doesn't sound like something like Ease. It sounds like Nintendo, classic Nintendo music.
Yeah, it has very much like a folk music quality mm-hmm. to it, especially this B section where it's just staying
right.
on that one
chord. It has
chord.
That droning
It has
note.
Like something you could just picture like a fiddle or something playing on this.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it's a great piece of music. This is the music that plays when you're in the Hyrule Castle town, and it's a very happy sort of hustling, bustling little city. And one brilliant musical cue and just sort of sound cue in this game is when you come back, there's a time travel element to this game. When you come back mm-hmm. 7 years later, the contrast visually, this town is no longer like happy. There's these creepy sort of zombie like creatures there. There's no music.
Oh, there's no music.
There's no music. Wow. It's not happy. Some of the buildings have crumbled. And it's like, that's one of the biggest points of contrast in the game as far as like the whole time travel element. Because when you come in here, it's just, It's really, there's hustle and bustle. There's people mm-hmm. running around. There's people dancing. You can go talk to people. You can go to different shops.
It's so effective that he went with no music for the contrast.
Exactly.
I imagine that whenever in this game, when there isn't any music, that must really feel empty because the music is so effective.
Well, and the sound effects are great. Like one thing that that Carl and I have noticed a lot in listening to this soundtrack is, while the instruments on the N64 aren't necessarily the best, some of the musical effects that Koji used in this game, like the reverb.
Oh,
just
reverb
sounds
is very
really
impressive.
Good. And
yeah.
they were able to use that on the sound effects as well. So mm-hmm. the sound effects hold up pretty well, and there's some really cool like voice sampling and stuff. Some pretty classic stuff.
Absolutely. We're going to move on to one of my favorite pieces in the game. This is Lon Lon Ranch. Chord changes. This is Lon Lon Ranch from Ocarina of Time. This really is, in my opinion, one of the most beautiful melodies of this game, and I think what's so great is that a lot of these melodies we've talked about before, they use a very few notes, very simple melodies, but it's all about the chord changes underneath that's creating that emotional response.
Yeah, I mean, this is another one of those melodies that uses those, like, I think it's like five notes mm-hmm. that you can play on the ocarina. It might be six.
At least for the first
like
section, right.
Yeah, yeah and he's created so many memorable themes. I mean, one thing that's cool is the Zelda's Lullaby theme you can play, and that's actually from mm-hmm. Link to the Past.
Right.
But so many different themes in the game utilize those few notes, mm-hmm. and it's really cool. It's like those limitations helped him to create such really timeless melodies, and it's kind of impressive because he continued in Majora's Mask using, again, those same notes, and he was still able to come up with some really great themes.
It's just like he didn't need to put those limitations on himself, but the fact that he did, it's like, that's one of
the
reasons.
It made the game better.
Yeah, it really made the game so cohesive.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
it was so engaging, and there's something that's really cool in the game. You can write your own ocarina tune.
That's so cool. So one of the coolest things about this soundtrack is that there's a lot of really great, small, kind of really short musical cues. So this is actually a section of the episode. We're going to feature some of the really short music in this game.
Yeah, so what we're going to do is we're going to sort of play a medley of all the different thematic motifs that happen in all the different areas, like I kind of mentioned with the ocarina. There's ones like Saria's song, which is the Lost Woods theme.
Yeah, so some of those we're not going to play now because we're going to play the actual song later.
Right, like the Temple of Time, mm-hmm. That song you can play. What we're going to play are all the themes that you sort of need them, I think, to gain access to the temples.
Well, pretty much, I don't know much about this game, but how I would describe them is these are all the kind of the ocarina songs that don't have full-fledged songs attached to them.
Yeah, and the reason why that is because you need them to, like, gain entrance to the mm-hmm. different temples. Each of them come from the different areas of Hyrule, which mm-hmm. is something, another brilliant thing to look at is each one of these songs has a different musical genre that it's aspiring to
yeah.
be, and that's fitting of the area. So if you're in the forest, it has a different sound than if you're in sort of a Goron Mountains where you have this sort of fiery
right.
temple. Every one of those musical styles is different, and it's almost creating the illusion that it's like these are, you know, classic themes that have been passed down and the differences in the various cultures.
Yeah, and one thing that's so great is that this game has so many small pieces of music and so many little small fanfares and little preludes and stuff. So it's great that we're going to be able to feature that in this section of the episode. The first thing we're going to play for you is only about 19 seconds or so. This is called Prelude of Light. That was Prelude of Light. What a nice, beautiful, short and sweet little prelude there.
Yeah, very pretty. One technique that Koji Kondo uses is, we mentioned he only has those few notes, but the best tool at his disposal is rhythm.
Absolutely.
You know, the more different he can make a rhythm, and with this song,
you get those rhythmic retards.
Na, 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 na. It's dun 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 dun. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's a whole entire new soundscape, unlike any other ocarina song in the game. So it makes it feel like, wow, there's like infinite possibilities for playing music in this game. But the Prelude of Light, yeah, this is a song taught to you by Sheik in the game.
Yeah, and one thing about all these pieces, all these little short pieces, is that his chords are so beautiful. In the very end of all these pieces, a lot of them have a Picardy third. This one ends on a major seventh chord, which yeah. is so jazzy.
Well,
and cool.
The three chords preceding it mm-hmm. are just so gorgeous. I mean, there's some of my favorite. That's like my favorite resolutions. Just, oh, brilliant.
Next, we're going to play a couple back-to-back. Each are about 17 seconds apiece. This is Minuet of Woods, followed by Serenade of Water. Was Minuet of Woods followed by Serenade of Water. And I know that for both Will and myself, Serenade of Water is one of our favorite pieces of music in this whole soundtrack.
Yeah, it's so simple and beautiful, and that's an example. It's just a very simple ascending melody, but the chord choices are just absolutely beautiful. And that Minuet of Woods is another great example of using rhythmic to his advantage, because you have da-da-dun, da-da-dun, da,
yeah.
like having a different meter and everything. It's another clever use of being able to get the most bang for your buck for those few notes.
The last few short pieces we're going to play in this little mini section of this episode are Nocturne of Shadow, Bolero of Fire, and Requiem of Spirit. well, that was fun to explore some of the shorter musical cues of this game. We're going to move on to a really unique piece called Goron City. Cool. This is Goron City. Definitely not a typical Koji Kondo type of composition.
Oh, yeah, by no means.
What's so cool is he's trying to evoke the sound of a cuica, which is, I believe, a Brazilian percussion instrument. It's that kind of that that squeaky sound, and it's really cool. It's a nice kind of ethnic type of sound that he's able to do. And I think the combination of that with those marimba, those metallic percussion sounds.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's just really effective. It's not like a catchy melody underneath this. It's kind of just more creating an atmosphere, a vibe of this section.
What I think is cool, though. Oh, and where I might just sort of differ slightly with you is this arrangement doesn't necessarily show off that melody too much because it keeps adding instruments, but I think on top of it, there's a really kind of pretty melody, and they have various renditions in future games where they sort of they showcase that sort of second half of the melody, that dun, 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 and it sounds kind of like playful and fun.
I guess for me, I consider that more of like a chord progression or like something like that you'd play like on the bass or something. It doesn't really sound like a melody to me, but whatever it is, it's definitely very catchy and very fun. So it's cool that they harkened back to that later on.
Yeah, I think the melody might be the last idea that's added because you have dun 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 dun.
Yeah, it feels like a bass line.
I think the melody is dun 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 dun.
Maybe.
I think that's the melody.
Cool. Well, we're going to move on to, when I was a kid, this was my favorite piece of music in this game, and it still remains one of my favorite pieces of this whole era of the N64. Let's take a listen to Lost Woods. Beautiful piece of music is called Lost Woods, also known as Saria's Song.
Yeah, this is another track that you could play on the ocarina. It's taught to you by the character Saria, again in the woods. And it's so funny, there's two big wood themes in this game. There's the Lost Woods, and then there's the Minuet of the Woods. And they're both so different, but they both have that really exciting, fun, kind of dancey quality to it. And I think that was a really interesting choice by Koji Kondo, especially for this, the Lost Woods. Like, if you listen to the Lost Woods piece of music in Link to the Past, it's definitely much more kind of frightening and a little bit scary. But this has there's so much fun in this piece.
One thing that I love about the melody of this piece, I've always loved it, is that if this is an F major, the melody lands on the raised fourth, the B natural of that F major chord, so it's not part of the key when it's playing that chord, but there's something that's so effective about that. It's this kind of tension, but it's also really beautiful when it resolves to the next chord. I don't know, there's just something so beautiful about that raised fourth.
And some of that is just sort of like just luck, like the notes that he chose. Mm-hmm. You know, he chose the notes that he thought he could make the most expressive melodies out of, and he really could only use those notes, and that's just an example of when he went in to fill in the chords, it just had that really beautiful, powerful thing. I imagine like Koji must have just been like floored when he listened to this, be like, mm-hmm. wow, I did this just with those few notes.
That's so
really
cool.
Impressive.
It's just one of the cases of when you set limitations on yourself, you're going to come up with things that you normally would not have, you know? So yeah, that's one of my favorite pieces for sure. We're going to move on to Temple of Time. Enjoy. Thank you. This is so beautiful. This is Temple of Time. And for me, I hear kind of the source of some of the inspiration from games in completely other genres that would come years later. Something like even Halo, in my opinion, like having this kind of this droning.
Yeah, I mean, I think if anything, they're taking inspiration from the same place, having that sort of Gregorian chant.
Yeah.
That, you know, monophonic, just one melody line.
Yeah, not
just,
like this game came up with that idea.
Yeah.
But yeah. Just the idea of putting it in a video game, this may have been one of the first times it was done authentically.
Well, using those sort of low choral samples, I know that's something that the Metroid Prime series sort of used to character its soundtracks. There's a lot of those sort of low choral samples.
Well, yeah, it was definitely very, very ahead of its time because this was the first time that you got to hear that, okay, that actually is impressive sounding. It's an effective tool. I mean, it sounds fake, but it sounds, you can tell what it's trying to do, and the use of that reverb really makes that work. Like, if you heard the same piece with just those raw samples without the verb, it probably would be indistinguishable, because part of the effect is having that lush reverb, you know? And I think that's something, this is an example where when people listen to the soundtrack, they in 1998, when this game came out, they were probably really impressed with, oh my gosh, there's so much more you can do in video game soundtracks.
Right, and I think these samples probably come with the reverb in there.
Could be. Could be added on top. We're going to move on to another one of my personal favorite pieces of music in this game. This is called Windmill Hut. This is Windmill Hut, also known as the Song of Storms, and we've talked before on the podcast, I believe on our Koji Kondo episode, about some of the similarities compositionally to the Yoshi's Island castle theme, and kind of the chords and the feel of how it's setting up.
Yeah, mainly the feel, the
the chords, yeah. But this melody has always been a personal favorite of mine, and I wonder if it's also the case where he set those notes and he was able to just, oh man, this is something kind of cool that maybe I wouldn't have come up with if I didn't set those notes.
And what's just so brilliant is the notes that he chose have that very, like, quasi, like, jazzy, quasi-classical, like, those notes just sound Zelda. Because it's weird. I feel like things like Final Fantasy, when I think of their soundscapes, I think of more, like, generic, like, Japanese style, like, chord progressions with a lot of lush major and minor sevenths. But with Zelda, I really think of the notes from Ocarina of Time. It's really the notes that are in that fairy fountain theme when you listen to those arpeggios that brum 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 brum
right.
brum. Like
right.
those notes, it's interesting because you sort of get this blend of like jazz harmony, but also with like classical and almost like modal type music. It's just so crazy because it's something that it really feels like it's set so specifically, and it's created such a connotation in video game pop culture to Hyrule in the universe of the Zelda series.
It's, yeah, the idea of creating a set of notes to use for an entire soundtrack is so inspirational to me. It's something that I would love to try, but I just know that I would not be able to pull it off as well as Koji Kondo. I don't know if anyone would be able to.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to take inspiration from such a specific thing and not just do exactly what he did. What makes it more impressive is that no one had this idea. It just happened, and it was the best way of scoring this game.
We're going to move on to a really cool piece called Kotake and Kume's Theme.
Thank you. We're listening to Kotake and Kume's theme. Kotake and Kume are two twin sisters. They're both witches, and they sort of fly around. They're actually the end boss on, I believe it's the Spirit Temple. And something that's kind of interesting, they transform into this boss called Twin Rova. But something in this piece of music that's really interesting is there's sort of like two very distinct instruments and two different sort of motives happening at once. And if I remember correctly, in the in parts of that temple, and it might even be in the Twin Rova one, the music that plays after it's transformed, it combines those sort of ideas and just to sort of like musically underscore what's happening with the game, which I just always
once
thought
again,
was really clever.
Once again, he's able to do that. Yeah, for this piece, the thing that really stood out to me is those really striking, harsh kind of medieval string instruments that are coming in, and rhythmically, they're like purposely off. You know, there's like kind of alarm sounds, like da-ding.
Right.
They just come out of nowhere, and man, that creates a lot of tension. We're going to move on to one of the last things you hear in this game. This uses Ganon's theme. This particular version is played on a church organ. Let's take a listen to Inside Ganon's Castle. This is Inside Ganon's Castle. One of my favorite things about this particular rendition is every time the loop comes back to it, and Will told me this was because you enter a different room every time, so I guess every single room, it adds a different rhythmic quality to it. So it started off with just the long sustained chords. This room adds the kind of the arpeggio, and then later rooms will add so that's just really cool and really tension filled.
And I'm not sure if it's specific rooms. I think it's just like as you go, the way that this sort of final chamber works, there's all these rooms. There's something like you have to get certain switches or you have to do something in each room to open up this final door.
Okay, so just the further
you get.
It's like
the farther you get, the more rooms you complete, the more sort of rhythmic things are added.
And you were telling me that Ganon's actually playing the one playing this on the organ,
right? It's so like poetic and beautiful when you climb through Ganon's tower, you get all the way to the top, you come in and he's just there playing on this organ.
That's great.
It's so demonic, like it's like he's playing this theme, like there's something so like special about like the game acknowledging the music like that.
Yeah, it reminds me of like Dracula or something. All right, the last track we're going to play for you today is the end credits of Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. This is a long one. We'll play maybe about a third of it, and then we'll fade it down and talk about it. Enjoy.
Thank you.
You're listening to the end credits of Ocarina of Time, composed by Koji Kondo. This is just a great way to wrap up this game and to, I mean, I haven't played this game, but I've heard so many of these melodies, obviously, before, and it's just such a really powerful way to remind you of all of these melodies and what they mean to you.
Yep, it's definitely a tearjerker. This game is very emotional. The ending has that, like, fairy tale, like, melancholy kind of... Mm-hmm. Charming, fitting, poetic ending. It's just such a work of art, this game.
And how many times he's able to use this Zelda's theme in different contexts with different instruments, lots of kind of retard, slow and speeding up with the tempo.
And something so cool there that I didn't mention before, in Lon Lon Ranch, that voice that you're hearing is, I believe her name is Malon, I think her name, that's where the Lon comes from,
sure.
Like the ending of her name. But she's just there out in the field sort of singing. And when you heard that earlier in this end credits, when you heard singing the lullaby theme, what was visually happening is you were seeing that character. So it's kind of nice, again, music fitting what's happening.
One thing that I love about this is you're hearing the Lost Woods, but he's doing like a remix of it. He's adding more chords to it. He's adding other parts to it. For me, that's just was so cool to hear that. He's like doing a remix of the Lost Woods.
Yeah, because what's happening is it's sort of like going through all of Hyrule and showing like everyone either dancing mm-hmm. or all these different races that used to be sort of confined to their own little area. Like they're all sort of dancing together. It's this beautiful kind of like poetic.
Yeah, it's so cool. You're even hearing those low choral reverb sounds mixed in.
Yeah, it's like
song.
All the different cultural elements are coming together. It's just beautiful.
The Goron, the Kuika is coming back. It's great.
Yeah, it's cool because like in the game, the Gorons, they like this song. Like you play it to the eldest Goron on your ocarina, and then like he starts dancing and gets
That's really so cool.
And yeah, there's just a lot of really there's just a wonderful use of music in this game, in the gameplay. Like it very much acknowledges the music, and I think that's one of the reasons this is perhaps the most effective video game score of all time, because it really involves you into the music. The music is part of the gameplay, but yet the music that you don't think of is equally as effective, and Koji Kondo is just really willing to put on any number of hats to sort of do the most effective thing for that situation.
Absolutely. Well said, Will. Well, thanks so much for joining us for this very exciting first Spotlight episode, and we're going to be having some more of these to come, so you should be looking forward to these Spotlight episodes. It's great to get back with some really good video game music. I know last week was kind of a fun change of pace, so this is quite the contrasting episode.
Yeah, and I know even doing the Spotlight, this soundtrack is so amazing. I know that we had to leave out some that we've played before,
right.
Like Gerudo Valley, and there's
definitely
some great themes like Sheik's theme, and one thing I was a little sad, we didn't get to do any of the temples, like the Forest mm-hmm. Temple, Water Temple.
We did Temple of Time.
Right, but that's sort of different. That's more like mm-hmm. kind of like a churchy area.
Right.
Like what's so cool about those tracks is they're much more ambient and creepy, which is incredibly impressive. I mean, if you haven't played this game, I would just recommend to play this game. I'm not even going to say check out the soundtrack, because this is just... Any gamer needs to play this game.
Yeah, so that's my homework for this week, is to play
absolutely.
This game. Thanks so much for joining us. Oh, and before we go, we have a couple things we wanted to announce.
Yeah, some pretty exciting stuff, actually. Our long-awaited Super Mario Galaxy tribute album of Cosmic Proportions is now available on Bandcamp and YouTube.
Starting today, so that's very exciting. We officially released it today, so we'll post a link on our blog if you want to head over there. Or you can always go to YouTube or Bandcamp, and you should be able to check that out.
Yeah, both Carl and I are we're really proud of the work that we've put into this. It's been kind of a long time working on this, but I think we're both really happy with the result, and I think there's some really good music that I think you're all going to enjoy. So yeah, once again, it's going to be supermercadobros.bandcamp.com. That's where you can check it out, and the album is, again, called Of Cosmic Proportions.
Awesome. Another thing to announce is next week we are going to be taking a bit of a break, but we will be back the following week.
Yeah, just a short little week-long break. Carl and I actually have a show that we have to get prepared for, so we're just going to take a week off just to do that, and because we didn't really have a break in between our seasons. But
right.
Well, that's enough plugging for now. Let's wrap this thing up.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us, guys. My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm Will Brueggemann. Have an awesome week, you guys.
Peace out.